Welcome to Oh for the Love of Geeks, starring Alicia and DJ. Remember, the opinions and views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily scientifically proven. Except, of course, if the facts are from the internet, because as we all know, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Keep an eye on my levels so I'm not so loud.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yay! That reminds me of last night. I've been trying to, like, watch Community and get caught up. I paid for Hulu so I can watch Community. And we were watching the episode where Senior Chang gets caught not being a real teacher. And
oh, he's
like, yeah, I'm just, like, I got in there and I was just throwing some phrases I learned on Sesame Street. But that's the way to teach community college Spanish. Definitely. Oh, goodness. Oh, my gosh. This what? Is crazy.
What?
Do you know how long it's been since we've done a podcast?
A very long time.
Do you know when our last one was published?
December?
No, it's not that long.
Oh, no, it couldn't have been that long.
No.
March?
March. It was March.
March. Wow.
March 19th. No, March 20-something, I think, if okay. I looked right. Our last podcast was the group one.
Yeah. Was the drunken podcast.
Was the drunken podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back to being boring again.
Yeah.
Just me and you being bored.
No drinks today.
No. Well, I mean, I'm at full throttle. I might get a little, you know, wild or something, but...
No, I have boring tea, so...
Boring tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not time to drink.
No.
It is a Friday, though, so
yeah.
I guess you could
I could have cider later.
Yeah.
But not now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, my goodness. So many months, and we're back.
Yay!
Woo! Yay! We need things. We need to do this podcast just to keep ourselves occupied.
Yes, we do. Yes, right. And so we can see each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a boyfriend now, so...
lots of things have happened since we podcasted last. I got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you had a boyfriend, and that's
Well, he wasn't really... We were dating, but we weren't... I don't know what you'd
call
it.
You were hanging out with someone.
Yes. Yes. And we are no longer seeing each other.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to someone now.
That's awesome.
Yes, and he's really cool.
And he's very cute.
Yes, he's very cute.
Strange thing, and I mean, I'll admit this, Alicia's talking to somebody that some years ago I casually dated, and I was just like, that's crazy, the world is small, but we only saw each other, we hung out a couple times, so it's not like we, like, dated, you know,
right.
It's not like I can tell you where all his freckles are, you know, because I can't, but we did hang out, so it was really funny that, you know, so many years later, I'm like, yeah, I know that guy.
Well, it's funny, though, because when we were both on OkCupid, we would have a lot of the same people message us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird.
It is kind of weird. Well, yeah. I mean, we are the same person.
We like a lot of the same things, and our interests are similar, so, yeah.
Me and you, not you and the guy.
Right.
The guy wasn't getting lots of the same guys messaging him that you were getting. That's not how that works. Well, I mean, he could be, I suppose, but I don't think he swings that way. But, yeah, so, yeah, we kind of have taken the summer off from podcasting because we've just been very caught up in our lives.
Right.
And just never could get together and do stuff. You've done a lot of, you did a lot of, like, activities and stuff over the summer. I know you and your daughter went camping
We went camping a few times. We went fishing on Rin Lake. I've done a lot of stuff with the singles group too. We're doing a lot more. We're having a gaming night once a month at the local comic shop, which is kind of cool. We've
that
had two
cool.
so far, and they've been pretty successful.
So you're doing I'm doing two events once a month.
We're doing gaming
once a month, and then the regular get out and go do something.
Right.
Once
we haven't done a poll yet in the group to see what we're going to do this month as far as our meetup. But gaming night will be the second Saturday of every month, regardless. So.
And those have worked out. Now that's over here on our side of the.
Yeah, it's in Edwardsville, right. At Heroic Adventures.
You actually get people
to show. You get
Yeah, we had, I think we had 12 or 13 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's Heroic Adventures here in Edwardsville.
They've right. been. So and we've only done it once, actually. I don't know why I said two. Okay. We've only done it once. This month will be our second one. So.
And they have, like, a back room or something?
They have a back room, but...
I haven't gone to them.
They have a back room, but they also have two tables inside the store. And when we first got there, there were people sitting at the tables in the store, and so we were in the back. But then they cleared out, and we moved into the store.
Okay.
So, it was just us, and there was another table, and there were a couple people there, but, you know, they didn't bother us. We didn't bother them.
What did you guys play?
We played Cards Against Humanity mixed with, oh, I can't remember the name of the game. But anyway, it's kind of like Pictionary in a way. You would get, I forget if we took 3 or 5 cards, and you would choose a card, and then you would have to write on this, it's like a dry erase board. Everyone had their own dry erase board, and you had to write something, or you had to describe what it was on the card. So then it would go to the next person, and then they had to, you draw it, rather.
Yeah.
And then the next person had to try to guess what it was. And then the next person would have to draw what that person guessed. So it's like telephone.
That's weird. That's like 3 games in one.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Cards Against Humanity, Pictionary, and telephone.
Yes. It was so much fun. The pictures that I'm an artist, I can't draw to save my life.
Me neither.
So
I've established the
pictures I drew were terrible, but a lot, there were people who were very talented and drew some pretty funny stuff. And
that's funny.
But it was a lot of fun. And then we split up into groups and played a couple different games. We played one called I think it's called Bang Bang.
Okay.
And you're like you are in a gang and you go and you rob a bank and you basically. You try to shoot each other so you can keep the money. So
okay.
I won. So
did you?
Yeah, that was
fun.
You're
a badass.
Yeah. So, so that was fun. But those are the only ones. We played Munchkin. We played Munchkin earlier on too, which I've never played before, and that was fun. I'd like to get into that more.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, you and I have talked about this. Like, you love doing the gaming thing.
Yes,
and a lot of people in our group. Love gaming.
Yes.
I am the odd man out that I don't enjoy gaming that much, simply because I have memory problems, and I can never seem to keep track of how to play these games, no matter how simplistic they are. I just always feel so overwhelmed. So,
and some can be. There can be a lot of rules.
Lots of rules and stuff. I mean, I used to be really good at it, and then, you know, I had a problem, had an issue where my memory's not what it used to be, and so I have a hard time remembering things, especially, and a lot of the games that we play, you know, they have a bit of strategy to them.
Yes, yes.
And I suck at strategy because I can't remember. I'm so busy trying just to remember the basic rules to try and think of how to be, you know, how to strategize and lie and manipulate. Because, like, we had played a game, well, you weren't there, but the one night when we were, the group met up at the Orbit Pinball Lounge, and first night that I met Joe, and he brought Koo in. Koo is, now you've played Koo.
I played Koo with Joe.
Koo is very simple.
Yes.
Koo is a very simple game to play.
Yeah.
It really does not have super intense rules. It is more just remembering the very basic rules and then being able to lie around those basic rules.
Yeah.
I couldn't even do that. Even with the cheat card sitting next to me to remind me what I needed to do and who did what. It was horrible. And I just always feel like every game is like I'm playing it for the very first time. So I don't enjoy gaming as much. I love Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, yes.
Because I don't think you have to remember a whole lot.
You don't, yeah.
So that's, I need that simple. But a couple of weeks ago, my boyfriend has friends who are artists, and they travel around to different cons. So when they're traveling through the area, they might stop by and, you know, and hang out and stuff. And they're gamers a lot. So they were playing games, and when I came into the house, he and a bunch of the guys were playing a game called Gentleman Thieves, I think is what it was called. You know, I definitely would not have been able to play that game. But they seemed to be having a lot of fun. They had to play a bunch of thieves and create alliances, but then every so often they would like switch the alliances, and then they were going out and like robbing and getting different loots, and they would have to kind of put the loots in different stacks, and then by the end of the game, whatever alliance was sitting at whatever kind of stack and loot wand, the stuff in that stack or something, I think is what I think that's what I saw them playing.
Okay.
I just sat there quietly watching, going, uh-huh, yay. And then they were like, we want to play the werewolf game. And everybody's like, oh, I want to play, oh, yeah, let's play the werewolf game. Hold on, I got to go, okay, I got to go get a drink. And, you know, and they were, like, really excited about, we're going to play the werewolf game. And they're like, do you want to play? And I'm like, I don't do games. Like, oh, no, this is really fun. You'll love this game. It's really easy. And I said, yeah. I said, I suck at games. Like, oh, no, no, no. It has a phone app that tells you everything you need to do. And I'm like, all right, here's the deal. I'll play it once, just to if I don't like it or if I don't feel like I'm good, I'll, you know, just let me bow out. They're like, fine, right. fine.
Okay.
So they all, like, got their drinks. They're all ready. They're going to sit and play this game. No one's getting up until the game is over, right? And they're like, it's a really fast game. And it is. It plays very quickly. But I guess you're not familiar with the game.
No, I've not played it before. Okay. But you kind of filled me
in. It's called something like Ultimate Werewolf One Night, I forget, but anyway, I've talked to other gaming friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know the werewolf game. Okay, fine. So it's really simple. You have different types of characters in the game. You have werewolves, you have a guy called the Tanner, you have village people, you have an insomniac, you have a troublemaker, blah, blah, blah. And depending on how many people are in the game is how many of each of those players you pull in. So you've got some werewolves, you've got some townsfolk, and then you've got one of each of these different types of things. And then the phone app, you plug in what players you're going to have in the game. Because you may not have an insomniac, you may not have the troublemaker put in there, but, you know, you'll always have werewolves. You'll always have the tanner, you'll always have the werewolves, and you'll always have townsfolk.
Okay.
And then when everybody's ready, everybody gets a card in front of them. You look at your card, and that tells you what character you are for that round. Then you start the phone app. Basically, the phone app says the same thing all the time, depending on what people are in the game. But everybody closes their eyes, and then it'll say, okay, all the werewolves, open your eyes and look at each other, so that you know who all the werewolves are in the group. Then they and it tells you, close your eyes. Okay, now, Tanner, you know, or no, you know you're the Tanner. It'll say, Insomniac, open your eyes and, like, switch two cards between two players. So very quietly, because you don't want anyone to know you're the one reacting, you do what it tells you to do. So it literally does tell you everything you need to do. So it tells some of the players to switch cards against each other, okay, or to look at certain people's cards or whatever.
Okay.
Then when it's done, everybody looks, and the object of the game is that you basically want to kill, point out the werewolves, guess who's the werewolves, and then kill the werewolves. So as soon as the app's done and everybody looks up, townsfolk people are immediately like, I'm a village person. And the Tanner, I didn't quite grab the strategy of this, but the Tanner wants to be killed, so he wants to, like, convince you of something so that you'll point him out and kill him. Because if everyone votes to kill the Tanner, then he wins or something, because he's, I don't know. But anyway, so the idea is to vote who the werewolves are and stuff. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Very quick-paced game. You can set a timer on how long you get to deliberate before you start voting. And I think it had, like, I think the time was defaulted at, like, 10 minutes. They're like, that's way too long. Just give it, like, 3 minutes. So basically, for as long as it takes to go through the phone app thing directions, which is, like, not even 5 minutes, and then 3 minutes to deliberate, point out whoever gets the most votes. What were you? Oh, look, I was a werewolf, so you guys, you know, you win. Okay. Yeah, I lose. Or, no, I was the Tanner. Ha, I win. You know, very quick and easy game.
Cool.
I could get behind this game.
Okay. Because
it is very simple. But it definitely, like I said, it's like $20 online. It's not very expensive. I thought,
right,
oh, man, I'd really like to get that game. It's kind of cute. But we could not play it at a place like the Orbit. Because you have to be able to hear that phone app.
You have
to be able to listen to the phone app.
Okay.
But I'm amazed at how quietly these guys could, and very quickly, because it doesn't give you a lot of time. If you're supposed to switch cards, you can't do it slowly. It gives you just a couple seconds to do it. So you have to very quietly and gently, and we're all packed around this table. So my knee is up against Michael's, and I'm thinking, if I have to move, he's going to feel me moving.
Right.
And know damn good well when it's an insomniac, and he feels me. So I'm trying not to touch him and then lean up, and it was a fun game. So I think it would definitely be a fun game for some place like the comic book shop where you could hear
the phone app. Right,
and,
right.
But it was a lot of fun. And they really got excited about playing it. They really seemed to love that game a lot.
And it was funny because as I'm doing that, I'm texting my friend Chad. Like, yeah, we're going to play this werewolf game. And he's like, I hate that game. Now, Chad owns, like, one of every game known to man.
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah, I don't like that game. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, I don't really like it. He says, but I do know the guy who created it. I said, really?
Oh.
Bit of trivia for anybody who plays a werewolf game out there. May not know. The guy who created it, I don't know his name. I probably should have looked it up. But he used to work for Adobe. And then he quit to become a game designer.
Oh, cool.
So, when you look at the cards and stuff, you could see he's a graphic designer. He used to work for Adobe.
Oh, cool.
And I guess quit to be a game designer full-time. So, that's kind of a bit of trivia that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, so, pretty much Cards Against Humanity and the Werewolf game are the only two that I found that I actually like to play. Now, you play...
I've been playing HeroClix.
Yeah, I have no idea what
that is. The guy that I was seeing before got me into HeroClix. And I got my kids into it, too. And we've actually played with my kids.
That's awesome.
And it also has a phone app that you can kind of use.
Okay.
It's kind of a cheat. HeroClix kind of combines, like, all the different comic fandom and sci-fi fandom. So you can do Star Trek, you can do X-Men, you could do Batman all in one game, and you can either mix your characters or someone else might have those characters. So so it's kind of fun. The thing about it is it becomes addictive because you get these little pieces and you can get them on blind packs, so you don't know what you're getting.
But it's a build-upon game. So it's kind of like Magic or things like that where it's not just like... The games that I was talking about are kind of they're compacted, and the game is the game. That's more of a collecting.
Yeah, this is more of a collectible.
Okay.
Right, right. And the blind packages, you become addicted because you don't know what you're going to get, and so you're excited to like get something, and then sometimes you get good stuff, and sometimes you don't.
Well, that's with anything really.
So, but it has become addictive, and I know I've probably spent $150 already
crap.
On pieces.
Jeez,
I know.
Oh my goodness.
So now I have to get a HeroClix game going also outside of the gaming thing. But I want to do it with my kids too because they enjoy it. So I'll do it outside of the single screen.
Well, I know. Yeah. Maybe one of these days I'll come over. Maybe even bring Cameron or something.
Oh, he might enjoy it. Yeah.
Maybe Annabelle, my niece. Because we've talked about like your daughter's 12.
Yes.
And my niece is 12 and they both discovered they love archery. And I'm like, you know, we should introduce the two of them.
Right.
They could get along to, you know, maybe they could go do archery and stuff. But I know my niece is kind of into geeky stuff too.
Yeah.
She's become the broody, quiet teenager off. She sits in the corner at my house with her iPad drawing and sculpting and doing stuff online. She's kind of taking after me. Yeah, and my sister. Well, I took her to her first con for her birthday. I took her to Anime St. Louis because I was like, my sister will never go to a con.
Right.
And I don't like anime, but I thought my niece would love this. So I wonder if she would like to, you know, play games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I really want to incite her spending money on game shit because I don't think her mom would appreciate that.
Well, it can be expensive and it can. You can it's anywhere from, it depends on the comic shop, anywhere from like $3.50 to like $5 for a piece. So it depends on, you know, how much you want to spend, but you can play like you play the game with like a certain set point. I'll say, okay, well we're gonna play at 200 points, and every character has a certain point that number that they're set at.
Yeah.
So like let's see, I have this little piece right here, and it is a zombie shambler, and he's 28 points.
Okay.
So you can play a 200 point game where your character is equal 200 points. So you don't need a lot of pieces to be able to play.
Yeah.
You can only play with a few pieces, but the fun of it is getting those blind packs and then getting those really good pieces.
Yeah.
And so you never know what you're going to get.
Are they hard?
No, they're pretty simple actually. There's the HeroClix. The reason they call it clicks is because it's got this little spin dial on it.
Okay.
And the spin dial has like their different attributes on it.
Okay.
And so and you basically attack each other.
Okay.
And you roll a dice a lot of times to figure out you know what's your attack and everything. And and then you just kind of follow
just attack each other.
Yeah, you just, that's basically it. It's, you just attack each other. So it's kind of a strategy game, but it's not complicated.
That's good. Yeah, I like not complicated.
Yeah, my kids, the first time they played, my daughter kicked our asses.
Really?
Yes, she did. She did. She kicked her ass.
She loved that.
Yeah. And then the second time we played, my son was kicking ass. So, yeah.
That's good. That's pretty cool. It's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I used to play Magic way back when. And I, you know, Magic can be expensive, too. Because there are cards that you go to the shop and buy one card and spend, like, $80 for a card. I never played that way. My ex-husband did that. He went to the glass case to get cards. I went to the box under the, you know, comic book rack that was like 5 cents a card, and I would come out with like, for $2.50, I'd have like this freaking stack of cards. He'd come out with like 2 cards, you know. And I was just like, what is the point? And especially with Magic cards, their value is so fickle that, like, I can remember back then, like, the coveted card was the Jester's Cap. I will never forget that, because that's all he wanted. And they had one at this fantasy shop in Fairview that we would go to. He would just sit and drool over that thing. Uh-huh. And I'm like, but the damn card's $100.
Oh, geez.
No!
Yeah, yeah.
No. And now you look it up, and I mean, that was like, you know, 12, 13 years ago. Uh-huh. You look that card up now, it is worth, like, nothing. It has not maintained. They don't maintain value. Okay. I don't know, you know. And I've gotten so out of Magic. I mean, you see how much I value my Magic cards. They're basically the backing to my Cards Against Humanity cards. So, but, you know, I mean, they can be, you know, it can be as expensive as you want it to be.
Yeah.
Or it could be as, you know, as least expensive. And, yeah, speaking of Magic, now, we had a friend who put a question into one of the groups that we're in.
Yes.
Because her sons had gotten into playing Magic recently.
Right.
And, pause.
Hang on, we're going to pause.
So, anyway.
Okay.
We had to open some Gatorade. So, yeah, so got into it, and they had a small situation.
Yeah, my friend's boys play Magic. And they've not been playing very long, and they went to a tournament, and her 12-year-old son won some cards, and a 14-year-old more or less ripped him off for one of the more expensive cards, and the adults that were playing and some of the older kids tried to stop the kid, but before they could get the kid to trade, he took off on his bike. And they talked to the comic book shop owner, and basically the comic book shop owner said there was nothing that he could do.
No, there really isn't.
And he would consider banning the kid from playing under 14 tournaments since he was four, you know, he'd make him play the older ones. But so they kind of learned a lesson, but the group kind of chimed in and they let everyone know that there's catalogs that they can look up, and there's also an app so they can research the cards before they do to trade. So they kind of learned a hard lesson, and it's kind of sad because, you know, in the gaming community, people are usually a lot more I don't know. Better sportsmanship than that. But, you know, you're
kids
always...
Kids aren't. I mean, because I've heard about kids getting, like, totally go to school and then, you know, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I mean, kids, man, you got to know what you've got in your hand.
Right.
You really need to know. And I think that, you know, that's important. That's something important to teach kids. But this is not a new concept. I mean, back when kids were playing with marbles.
Yeah.
Or back in our day, I guess it was Pogs. Or I can even remember collecting stickers and then, you know, going, oh, I'll trade you this scratch and sniff for that scratch and sniff, you know. But, you know, yeah, it's important to know the value of what you've got in your hand before you go, because there are people out there, they're just waiting for somebody stupid who is completely unaware of what they've got in their hand. Like, ooh, look, I've got this card, you know, trade you for that one. And I guess maybe she was led to believe that trading was something that happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I played, that wasn't part of the game. I don't know if that's tournament rules.
I don't...
That you put up certain cards as, like, you know...
Yeah, I think that... I think when people answered in the group, they said it's not necessarily something you have to do.
I've never had a part of trading cards. Now, like, I chimed in and said, now I've known, like, if I had two or three of a certain character or something...
Yeah, duplicates. Yeah.
Duplicates. I'd be like, hey, I got a duplicate of this. Oh, I got a duplicate of that. Here, let's just trade. Not for value, just for give me a different card I don't have in my collection or whatever. But, so, yeah, I feel bad for kids like that, but it is an important lesson.
Yeah.
That you really shouldn't trade things until you've done some research to you know what you're trading.
Right. Yeah. And now they know, and the group was kind enough to to answer our questions. So
that's our group is like that. Yeah. Ask him a geeky question, and they'll all chime in. Right. They love to talk about what they know. Right. You know, when it comes to geeky stuff.
Right.
It's all about communication.
Yes, which is kind of the basis
to what our subject is this week.
Yes,
communication.
Right.
So, we had discussed what do we want to talk about and the importance of communication. And I had also suggested, like, networking. Because I think in the group, that maybe we could start off with the networking idea. Because we have a lot of people in our group now.
Yes.
I'm not sure where all these people are coming from.
You know what? The thing
some
is...
Some of them, I think, I have seen. Because I do, even though I have a boyfriend, I do still have my OkCupid account active. And I make a point of going to it every day and just looking at it so that it stays active. I don't even want to know. Stays active so that it's in the forefront of things because I started mine off with, I am seeing somebody, but we have this group
right.
and we have this podcast and I left links at the very top of my profile so that when people would look at me, hopefully that would maybe bring them to the group.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just using mine for advertisement purposes. And I've noticed some people like, oh, so-and-so looked at you, and I'll look to see who's looked at my profile, and then I'll see that they joined the group.
Okay.
So it is working.
Yeah, that's
my
good.
Ploy to use OkCupid and their evil practices of purposely setting people up on bad dates.
That was
a thing in the news. But yeah, so it does kind of work. So I'm thinking some of these people are coming from my OkCupid profile and getting the link and joining, so it does work. But how many people do we have?
We have 244 people in the group, and I think a lot of it is now that we are a bigger group, it'll say suggested groups. Like if you you're on your whatever group you're in, if you're on that, it'll say suggested groups, and we're coming up because we've got a larger amount of people now, so we are being suggested to more and more.
Which is
people
good.
In the group, they're friends, they're Facebook friends. So,
which is good.
I'm seeing more and more as I'm adding people to the group that they are friends with someone else in the group. So we're getting a lot of that too. We are getting, unfortunately, people are not reading the description, and we're getting people who coming in who
are married.
And I always try to look. I always look to see in their about information if they are in a relationship or married. And a lot of time you either can't see it because of privacy or they don't have it listed.
There have been a couple times when I've seen people and I'll send them a message. Hey, I'm an admin from this group. I see you want to join. I suspect you are married. Are you poly?
Right.
You know, when they come back, no. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but this is a group for single people.
Right.
If you're poly, totally fine. You can be a member of the group as long as you're poly and you're...
And you let whoever you're interested in know.
Interested, and you let people know that, you know. And again, we say this every time we talk about the poly. Our poly people
do
not lie
about
it.
They
are right up front about it.
Telling you, yes.
They have no problem
telling
you they're
poly. They're
very honest
people. Right.
So that's not been an issue. But yeah, we've noticed a lot of people. But yet when we have events, it's like pulling teeth to get people to come out to our events.
Yes. Yes.
And then they sit back and like, but nobody, I can't find anybody. Well, you're not gonna if you don't come out and do stuff with us.
Yes. People just don't come knocking on your door. They don't just fall into your lap. You've got to make an effort. You've got to make some kind of effort.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've said this multiple times in the group too. If people would just be more interactive in some of the threads, a couple of guys that I dated through the group became interested in me before meeting me, even just from being interested in
what
I guess
said in threads.
My personality or whatever came shine through to them from me talking in the threads.
No wonder nobody likes me. Cause I'm the bitch of the group. I go in and purposely start trouble just to make people talk. That's my job. And then everyone's like, "You're such a bitch." I'm like, "But that's my job. It's to be the bitch and to get you know when it's kind of getting dead." To bring in, not controversy, but to bring in more
To stir
the pot a little bit, to get people kind of talking and stuff. Unfortunately, sometimes it backfires, and then I have people coming at me in private PMs just verbally assaulting me. And I'm just like, but I was just trying to get people to talk.
Right.
But, recently, and I don't know that you, because I don't know when you get private messages, you know, you never really say, and I don't necessarily say that I do, but I've had some of our younger people come to me in private message and say, You know, are there anybody under the age of 40 in the group? Because I don't know who they are. You know, and I have to say, well, it's my experience that a lot of the people in our group are, you know, I'd say 30 and up.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, most of them.
Most of them are 30 and up. And we have members who are under the age of 30, under the age of 25 even.
Yeah.
They're not as prevalent.
Right.
But they do exist. But they're very quiet.
Yes.
I think they're very quiet people.
Yeah.
And I did have one girl come to me and was like, because I had put out there, if anybody needs help with something, just message me. That's what we're here for, is to help you out. If you have a question and you don't want to put it to the group, just ask me. So she came and she said, I tried to put out put out feelers on, you know, I had asked who is under the age of such and such, who's in college, because here's what I'm looking for. She goes, and then the thread just got all kinds of messed up, and they do tend to do that.
Yes.
So I said, okay, fine, maybe if I do it. So I went in and I said, who here is under the age of 30 that's currently in or graduating college? Because that was kind of her prereq. That's what she wanted, because she was like 21 or 22. She's like, I don't want anybody over, say, 25. And I said, okay. And it was like two people chimed in, and all of a sudden everybody that it didn't apply to was answering. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Shut up. Get away. This does not apply to you. Because that's the problem. It gets muddled under everybody else's stuff, and she can't see. And the other people who are wondering the same thing and just didn't come and say something. Because there's a lot of the younger people who are like, where are my young peeps?
Yeah.
And one of the things I had told her, and I think this applies to anybody regardless, if you're not interested per se in individuals in the group, that's fine.
Right.
You know, because that happens.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, I know that you're young and you're looking for younger people. But my suggestion is not necessarily going to our events or being a part of things to find your true love.
Right.
But use it as a networking tool.
Yeah.
I said, because a lot of us either know people who are not in the group.
Yeah.
You know, or know people who are in the group and just aren't active in the group. Then it may be your age, and you come and, you know, talk to us, and we, you know, finally meet you and see how you are, and then go, oh my God, you know what? I have got a friend who you should meet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of how I met my boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's exactly, because I think about that. As much as I don't like the guy you were seeing, and I go on record, and everybody knows I can't stand him, and I don't want anything to do with him. And some days I want to go, I totally regret meeting him. But the one thing that holds true is, had I not met him, and had you not met him and hung out with him, I never would have met my boyfriend, because that's how I met him. They were friends.
Yeah.
Now, my boyfriend was a member of the group, but my boyfriend's one of the quiet, stay in the background, never talk to anybody member of the group. I never would have noticed him, and I don't think I ever would have, even if I did look at his profile, and I think at one point I had, when he had first joined, I looked at his profile, because I look at all the new people.
Yeah.
His pictures on his profile do not do him justice.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until he was drug out to one of our events in February when I saw him and immediately went, oh my gosh, I need to go meet that guy. And then I asked you, who is that? And you're like, oh, that's Nick's friend Mike. And I'm like, the author, the annoying author friend Mike? And like, yeah. And I'm like, I gotta meet him. And I saw his eyes, and that's the thing that I love about my boyfriend.
So you guys were sitting next to each other.
Well, that was funny, because we were sitting across the table, and you were pointing out, because we had a bunch of new people at that February, because it was the karaoke one, which amazed me that we had more new people who came out, participated in karaoke. Can't get them just to come hang out at a bar, but hey, come and sing in front of strangers, and they do it. That astonished me. But there were a bunch of new people that were sitting across the table from us.
Uh-huh.
Like, with our backs to us, and you were like, Gail, that's so-and-so, because you are, like, the hostess of the group.
Yeah.
I am not. And that's when, for a split second, Michael turned to, like, grab his drink, and he just, like, glanced at me, and I saw his eyes. And I love his eyes. That's, like, my favorite part of his body is his eyes. I love his eyes. And even in a dark bar, I saw his eyes. I was like, I want to go meet that guy. And so I got up, which I never do, and I went around and pretended I was playing hostess so that I could meet him. Then I felt like I scared the crap out of him. And then I was like, okay, I scared him. I'm going to go away. And I came and sat back down. And then I got called up to sing. And when I came back, he was sitting next to me. And I didn't know if he had done that or if you guys had grabbed him from the other side of the table. Come sit next to her.
Wait, no, we moved our seats around so that
he could sit
next
to me.
So, yes, we did.
And then what do we do? I'm looking at him like he's we're not talking.
Right.
We're not talking at all. And I'm just like, shit, okay. I found him on Facebook and I sent him a message. Just so you know, I think you're kind of cute. I didn't think he would get it until like later, if right. at all, because we weren't friends on Facebook. And sometimes it's kind of weird how that works.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff that people you're not connected to, the messages go to the other box.
Yeah.
And sometimes they actually do come to you.
Right.
And this one happened to go straight to him. I didn't realize he's as psychotic about it as me, and he had Facebook on his phone, so it alerted him right then and there. So I'm sitting there like, okay, well, he'll get this later tonight. Maybe I'll talk to him within the next month. Ping, it comes back, and he's like, you're not so bad yourself. I'm like, but we didn't talk to each other hardly at all. When we went to the diner after the fact, we had one person between us, I think, at the diner, and we didn't really get to talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't until like, the next day when I took the chance of, like, sending him a text message, we talked a little bit. But yeah, if it wasn't for networking, I never would have met my boyfriend.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that, you know, I don't know of any other times that, I mean, I don't know any stories of people have come to group events just to get out of the house and have some fun.
Oh, we have so much fun. I've made so many friends through the group. Just some really, really nice people.
But I mean, you know, it's just kind of networking and saying, you know what, I know, well, especially for us because we're admins, we kind of try to get to know some of the members.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And we try to facilitate a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
We do try to play Cupid a little.
So it's always good to know your admins and to make friends with your admins because sometimes, you know, we may separately know people and go, you know what, we think you two might get along. Why didn't you come on, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's important if you're trying to find somebody. Sometimes you go to events that it's not necessarily you're going to find the one person at that event, but you may meet somebody who may know
who may introduce you to someone. Right.
Exactly. So it's very important. And I don't know how to convey that more to the group because it seems like it's always the same people. And we enjoy being around each other, so it's good. It's always the same people that come out.
Right.
And we do have fun. We do nerdy stuff, but we do have a lot of fun.
And it's like, when we're in the group and we're at our events, it's just like you're with your people. You can start talking, and no matter what fandom you start talking about,
there'll be somebody there you can have a conversation with.
Exactly. You could have an hour-long conversation. You might have a half hour, might be 10 minutes. Whatever, but there's always someone who in the group who enjoy the same fandom as you.
Last weekend, we went bowling.
Yeah, we did.
And there was a lull between, because they had, like, specials for, like, 2 hours. It was, like, a certain amount of money, blah, blah, blah. And we did the first two-hour set.
Yeah.
And then you guys decided we want to do the second two-hour set that went till midnight. And Michael and I were like, no, our hands hurt. We'll just sit and chat. So while we were waiting for them to, like, re-oil the lanes and stuff, had a lull, I thought for a fact I was going to lose my boyfriend to one of the members of the group. Yeah. I thought there was a love connection going on. Yes, Kevin.
Kevin.
The two of them sat down and got to talking about the Eighth Doctor, and I thought for sure I'd lost my boyfriend forever.
Yeah.
They were making the connection over the Eighth Doctor. And then Jim joins in, and all the Doctor Who people went over and talked about the Eighth Doctor and audio adventures, and I'm just like, I'm going to go sit over here and play my game on my phone. But it happens.
Yeah.
And as obscure as it is that my boyfriend's favorite doctor is the Eighth Doctor, nobody pays attention to the Eighth Doctor. But he found his love connection with Kevin, who loves the Eighth Doctor, too. So you never know
who
you're going to meet in the group that's going to like that weird thing, that very obscure fact that you... And the two of them, like, how long did it take them to oil those lanes? It's been a good half hour, 45 minutes or more?
Yeah, it was at least half an hour to 45 minutes.
They spent that whole time talking about Doctor Who.
Right.
Very emphatically talking. I mean, they were, like, into that conversation.
Yeah.
They were in their own little world.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
Yeah.
They, you know, they were making their connection and networking and discussing stuff. So, I mean, you just, again, you just never know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, one of our bits of advice is... go out to stuff.
Yeah.
And meet people.
Yeah. If not our group, the St. Louis Nerdy Girls is a meetup group, and I'm part of them. I've not been able to do a meetup yet.
I've not done any of their meetups.
But I have friends who do. I have friends that do. I just not been able to do it either. I've got my kids or money or what have you or other plans or whatever. But they do a lot of stuff, and they're not a dating group at all. It's just
a get-together group.
But you never know who you're going to meet. One of my friends... met a guy she was interested in. They're just friends now, but you know, you just never know who you're going to meet, and you know, when you're out, especially. And
oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we've talked about the geek trivia thing, yeah, which is late at night on a Tuesday, so it's kind of weird to try. I would like to do that, even though I would not be able to offer any intelligence in
that.
I'm sure.
Well, you never know. Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's getting out, and I think sometimes, especially because it just kind of goes without being said, for the most part, this does not apply to everyone, but for the most part, geeks and nerds are socially awkward people.
Yes.
They're, you know, we're kind of introverts. We're, you know, shy. We have a hard time just going to a party of full strangers and just going, hey, I'm going to meet some people. I'm definitely not like that. Now, you're a little more personable than I am.
I'm definitely an extrovert. I can go to a party and meet people.
I am like the yin to your yang. I am like super introvert.
Right.
But it's hard to go out and to just be like, hey, I'm going to go talk to some people. Because like I said, when we do events, you're a little miss and, you know, introducing everyone.
Yeah, make sure
and I'm
everyone.
Not.
Yeah.
Except for the time that I saw Michael's eyes and I was like, I'm going to go pretend I, you know, I'm a hostess and I'm going to go, are you boys having fun? Just so I could go talk to him.
Yeah.
That's my driving factor. If I get a t-shirt or I can meet a boy, then I'll talk to somebody. But other than that, if I'm not getting free swag, I ain't talking to you. So give me a cookie and I might be your friend. But I think sometimes when you go to, if you were to go to events where it's, you're not, you know, you're not going to find the person you want to be with, because you realize that all the 20-somethings aren't going to be there. It's all the 30 and 40-somethings. But I kind of wonder if that wouldn't help relax the tension in the social awkwardness.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that weighing on you, like, I need to be impressive because this one of these people might be the one.
Right.
And you can work on your social skills.
Yeah. Yeah, and practice is something that we talk about often.
Practice. Everything. Yeah. You need to practice. Everything you do in life, you have got to practice.
Right.
Whether it's doing an art form or anything, or just learning how to be more social with people, it takes practice.
Yes.
Learning how to communicate effectively. And I know, and part of the reason that I have a hard time, other than I am weird and I throw people off because I am very bizarre, not as bizarre as some people that I've met. I've realized I'm not as geeky as I thought I was. I'm more normal than geeky, but I do have the social awkward thing going for me.
I don't see that in you. Now I see I can see where you're a little bit shy and a little more hesitant when we're out, but I would never say that about you, that you're socially awkward.
What's wrong with I would never say that. I have online bravado. I think if I can hide behind, then I'm fine. I'm all gutso. Because I'm the one who starts the trouble in the group because I can hide behind the computer.
Yeah.
I would not stir up trouble in a public setting. I would not be like, what's your guys' thoughts on blah, blah, blah in a public setting? I would dream.
Yeah,
you would. And I wouldn't. But I think, working on like your communication skills, because there's times when I get really flustered when I'm face to face with people.
Yeah.
And I say weird crap. And it's just like, they're like, what? And I get all, like, knotted up and giggly, and I say weird shit that even geeks are like, what the hell is your issue? And I know a lot of geeks and nerds, that's the problem. You get so nervous, you blurt out weird shit.
I think it happens to all of us. I think that's just part of being human and being in a social setting.
Well,
I sometimes
I
get a little social anxiety and worry about, you know, how I'm portraying myself, or, you know, did I just say something stupid? I think everyone's like that, but you just got to go in there and think, well, if this person doesn't like me for who I am,
who cares?
Who cares? They don't need to be in my life.
No.
They don't need to be in my life. And I think if more people had that attitude and would just kind of relax, then it would make them a little more open to meeting people. Now, there are some things that, you know, I've noticed in the group that a lot of people need to work on. Interrupting people.
Gee, this whole podcast is
interrupting
you.
No.
We've discussed that. We've done the podcast. Wow. People have listened back and go, you never let Alicia say anything. And I'm like, I try, I think.
No, you do. You do. You totally do. That's one thing I've noticed is we've had people who interrupt. They don't you know, I think a lot of it is just is learning a lot of the basic social skills. Some of these people don't even know the basics.
Yeah.
Interrupting is one. Random thoughts. Sometimes we get out of the blue, someone blurts something out, has nothing to do with what's going on, and you're just kind of like, where did that come from? Which is not necessarily a bad thing. If it gets a discussion going, it's not a bad thing.
But I think sometimes, yeah, it's one of those things where the people want to be a part of the conversation, they just don't know how.
Right.
And so they just, like, lose all sense of self and are like, ice cream on a mountain! Go! And it's like, what?
Right.
We were talking about Darth Vader, and you know,
right,
but they
right.
just want to be. It's learning, yeah, learning how to kind of like shut your mouth, listen,
yeah.
And if you can't interject, if you can't be a part of a conversation, it's hard sometimes.
Cause, yeah,
like for me, there's a lot of times when we've been in groups where the subject matter doesn't go to anything I can actually discuss because
right.
it's not anything I know. So there are nights when I sit there, I don't get to be a part of jack crap in the conversation. Because you guys are all, everyone's discussing stuff I can't be a part of, and just kind of let it go. Maybe next time someone will bring up the topic that you can discuss. But again, geeks have a problem with this. When it is a topic you do know something about,
yes,
you have to learn to share the floor.
Yes,
and
that's
dominate.
Another. Yes, exactly. It's fine that you want to share your knowledge and you get excited that you want to share that with someone, especially either someone that has that same passion or someone who wants to learn about it, which is fine too, because I don't know a lot about comic books and I'm learning and when people start having conversations about that, I like to, I'll listen intently
yeah.
because I want to learn. But it, exactly what you said, you need to be able to, say what you've got to say, condense it so that the conversation can keep going instead of it's just you giving a lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed that with the Doctor Who boys over the weekend. There was three primary participants in that conversation, and I think all three of them were giving each other ample floor time.
Yeah, that's good.
They really,
yeah.
I think it, no, yeah. it wasn't just Kevin all talking, it wasn't Michael all talking, it wasn't Jim all talking. It was all three of them having a beautiful little love fest for Doctor Who.
Over the Eighth Doctor.
Yes, over the Eighth Doctor and audio adventures and you know, and Capaldi and all of that wonderful stuff. So they were good at give and take.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, wasn't Kevin just dominating like, oh, I have all the knowledge in the world. They were all, you know, kind of sharing, and it was
yeah.
kind of nice. You know, I think they had fun. It kept them occupied while they weren't doing something because they couldn't bowl.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed sometimes, or sometimes people, you know, you kind of get to where you're like, I'm bored. No one's talking about what I want to talk about. And then you do the thing where you blurt out, like, non sequiturs
yes.
to try to bring the conversation to something you know something about.
Right.
I don't know that I do that. No.
No. No.
I don't, because I don't want attention drawn to me, believe it or not.
There are people that have done that before when we've been out in the group, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we'll blurt out weird stuff. And then when it's, like, dead, they just keep trying to beat that dead horse. It's like, nobody here knows what you're talking about.
Right.
School us. Okay, we're done. You know.
Yeah.
See, again, practicing how
yeah.
to be a part of a you know, a social setting.
Right.
And being able to effectively communicate, not blurt out crap. I mean, because I think the more you do things, the less nervous you're going to be.
Yes, it becomes second nature almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if it's, like, the same type of group, where it's
yes.
our group once a month, when you come out and you're around us more, you're going to be around a lot of the same people.
Yes, you're going to feel
so
more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of times when we first meet somebody out and about, I try to remember that they're probably extremely socially awkward, just
yes.
like me, and they're probably going to put on the weirdest performance I've ever seen, so I can't necessarily judge them
yeah.
off of my first meeting of
right.
them, because I know how I am. I
right.
blurt out crazy shit.
Right.
And then I go back and go, why the hell did I say that? What must they think of me, you know?
I always try to pull people into, when they're new into the group, if we're having conversation, whatever, I try to find ways to pull them into the group or start some type of conversation that, that will include them
yeah.
in some way so they feel a little more comfortable.
Good if they've participated on the page because then yes, we know, then what we kind know of
more
stuff.
About them. Right.
We know, you know, what they're right. into and what kind right. of stuff they like. And
yeah, because we're here to help. People don't get that. But, you know, DJ and I started the group because I was having trouble finding a geeky guy to date. And then DJ joined, and we became fast friends, and I asked her to help admin. And her and I, our goal, she has a boyfriend now, and like I said, I'm talking to someone, but our goal is to ultimately, not only for ourselves, but to pair up these other people, because we want you to, we want them to be happy, too.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to play Cupid, too, and
we're not experts, but boy, no. we've got a lot of experience.
We have an experience, and we've got a lot of knowledge.
We've done it wrong so many times, and we'll tell you what not to do. And then
very much
you know,
so, yeah.
I mean, my thing is, I mean, we, and we both understand the struggle of how frustrating it is to be single for so long.
Yes,
and
yes.
you're all on your own. You're like in the middle yeah. of the ocean, just treading water
yeah.
by yourself because you got nothing. And I mean, I didn't really feel that I was that great of a humanitarian, but I guess maybe I am, that I would like to save people
yeah.
that time that they're frustrated and alone.
Right.
If I can help you out, let me help you yeah, out a
exactly.
little bit and kill that lull time. So that you don't become old like me and jaded, and then there's no hope. Because now you're just, you've had to be alone by yourself for so long, now you're a total bitch about it. And no one can help you. Nobody's going to want you, because you're, you know. So, you know, to try to save and to understand that these are our people.
Yeah, they are. Like I said, we've both made so many friends through the group that it's just, you know. I'm happy just to have those people in my
fun.
Life. Yeah, we do. We have a good. I've never not had fun at an event. I've always had fun. Always had fun.
I mean, for the most part, yeah. I think I have too.
Yeah.
Maybe some events were more fun than others.
Oh yeah, I agree there.
You
yeah.
know, I mean,
yeah.
you know, the events where we get to leave and go get weird donuts. That was fun. I like weird donut day, and we have fun. We go bowling, and
yeah.
I think. Really, I think the karaoke day, like I said, I was absolutely astonished that the people
There's
that were getting
so
up
many,
to sing.
I know, so many people
what
came out.
What's wrong with you people? And
like,
they got up and
geeks.
Actually sang.
Yes,
I have video
crazy.
Proof that my boyfriend, who you will agree, is probably the most quiet,
is.
Yes. reserved,
he is. Yes.
like, shy person
yeah.
on the planet.
Yeah.
I have video proof that he got up and sang.
He did.
Not alone.
No,
he did get
I
up
did.
And sing.
I did not sing alone either. So he's not alone there.
No.
So,
but I, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I couldn't believe, like, you know, yeah. we haven't seen Josh in forever, but Josh is one of the guys that's very, very, very reserved in the
yeah.
group. And then when you meet him, he's totally different.
Yeah,
he got up and sang, and
yeah.
I was just like, whoa, no
yeah.
way! But
yeah.
he got up and sang. He
right.
sang a couple songs.
He did.
You know?
He did.
Now people like our friend Jim. Well, Ruby.
Yes.
Our friend Ruby. That did not surprise
no,
me.
No, she's a very outgoing person. So yes, totally. Yes, yes.
We're having fun with that one, aren't we?
Yeah.
I love Ruby.
I do too. Ruby
yeah,
is such a wonderful person.
Yes. Oh my God. Just love Ruby to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that, now that, Ruby has a personality.
Yes.
Not socially awkward per se.
No.
Not
no.
introverted by
no.
any stretch of the imagination.
No.
We actually met Ruby at our, when we did our panel.
Yes, we did at CowaCon.
At CowaCon.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful friendship that started
yes.
there.
Yes.
So if nothing else came out of our panel at CowaCon, we met our friend Ruby, who we love to death.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think who else got up. It was just such a blur of everything.
Brian, who is really quiet in the group.
Did Brian get up and sing?
Yeah, Brian did. He got
really?
Up and sang too.
Brian Land. Brian
yes.
is so quiet. Brian's
yes.
so cute.
Yes. Yes, he did too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I, like, again, like I said, amazing that a karaoke event.
I guess we need to do one again soon so we can get
something.
Some of these. See who comes and who sings.
Yes.
There were some people that didn't sing, and that was
and
fine.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I
no.
was just surprised that it wasn't. I mean, because I used to help run a karaoke show with my sister, and I had dated a karaoke host, so I helped, you know, with his show and stuff. So I'm used to karaoke, mm-hmm. even though it's kind of cliche now. It's still, people do still enjoy it. And so I knew, if nothing else, if nobody sang, I mean, I don't think that I'm that good. But I will get up. I'm not afraid to get up and sing. It doesn't bother me. So I figured, well, if nothing else, I'll get up and sing. But I figured it wasn't going to be... I figured, like, Nick would get up and sing. Yeah. Because just Nick's outgoing. Ruby would get up and sing because, you know, Ruby goes to karaoke a lot. So we know that. And I thought, it should just be us. It'll be just us singing. Yeah. And then it was just like, here comes Josh. Here comes Brian. There goes Mike. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, like you said, there were a lot of people who just came. They didn't sing.
Yeah.
But I think they had a lot of fun.
I think they did too. Yeah.
And then we went to the diner afterwards and had greasy food. And that was fun.
That was fun.
I don't think they knew what was hitting them. There was a lot of us there.
There was. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, you just take the chance. You go out, you network.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just, you don't know who you're meeting. You may not be meeting the one.
Right.
But you may be meeting the friend of the friend of the friend who knows the cousin of the one.
Right. Exactly.
And it's just, it's strange.
But you gotta get out of your house. You gotta get out of your house. I mean, yes, you could meet somebody online, and I mean, of course, with OkCupid and all those other sites out there.
But now we know they're fixing you up on purpose with people they know you won't get along with.
Right.
So don't trust those results.
Look at those questions and see if you actually do match up or not.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that.
And I have, like, too.
Why did they match me up with this person? Yeah. I will go look at those questions.
I will, too.
And go, we don't match on anything. Now we know why.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing experiments on us.
Yeah.
And so is Facebook. You heard about the Facebook one.
Yeah. Yeah.
How they were, like, changing some people's thing to see how angry they got.
Yes. That's insane.
In a way, I think that I thought was kind of funny in a way, because I did have friends who would get on, like, I hate this new format.
Oh, I was the same way.
And I was like, what new format on Facebook are you looking at? Because mine's the same. And now I know what it was.
Yeah.
They were one of the ones that got their news feed changed. And I think it is kind of an interesting social experiment on how quickly over, you know, online can anger and disruption occur.
Right.
Over something as dumb as my news feed got changed. I don't like the way it looks now. I thought that was funny. But the OkCupid thing kind of, I don't like that per se. Now, I don't pay for OkCupid, but I do know some people do pay, because you can pay for it to be A-list. And that makes me a little wary. If I'm paying you to give me good results on people to meet, and you're doing these social experiments with me, that I do not like. Yeah. I am not asking. I'm not paying for the privilege of being a guinea pig.
Right.
So I don't know if they were only picking on the freebie people or if they did it to some of the pay people, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure they didn't disclose anything like that.
I don't know, but that was a little... So I don't know. The online thing, I mean, you always have to be skeptical of everything online.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even people who are, like, friend request on Facebook can be bots sometimes.
Right.
Not even real people. So you have to just be really wary.
Yeah.
But when you meet face-to-face...
There's body language, there's facial expressions, you can tell so much about a person, and you can tell...
So you know what?
...more if people are interested in you or not.
How about we stop here on this, because we talked about networking.
Okay.
So I'm going to pause. I'm going to go change this.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll do a part two real quick about interpersonal in-your-face communication.
Yes.
Because that is very important. It kind of works with the networking, but it's kind of a side subject. So for right now, we're going to sign off. This is part one, so we're going to go record part two.
John Barrowman.
John Barrowman. Oh, John Barrowman. Love John Barrowman. And he was at Comic-Con, and John Barrowman.
Yes.
No, if you listen to my outro that I recorded, you'll see that I made sure we never forget John Barrowman.
Oh, you put it in there?
Because he's in the outro.
Oh, I didn't know you put it in there.
So if you're somebody who listens to our podcast and you don't listen to our credits, you might want to. Because I did something special just so we could never forget John Barrowman at the end. He will always be in every podcast regardless. So for right now, this is DJ.
It's Alicia.
And we are signing off. And go check out our part two on face-to-face personal communication. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to suggest a topic for the show, have feedback about the episode, or would like to be considered as a guest, you can email us at loveofgeekspodcast@gmail.com. If you are a single geek over the age of 18 and live in the St. Louis or surrounding areas, you can join our singles group by searching St. Louis Sci-Fi and Fantasy Singles Group on Facebook. As always, the music was provided by Houdini Roadshow. Hear more great music from them by going to their website at www.houdini-roadshow.com or go like them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Houdini Roadshow. Our parting words for this week are this. If you ever find yourself in a difficult situation and don't know what to do, just ask yourself one simple question. What would John Barrowman do?